the day of Countryside Links, and of course, more importantly than that, is the fourth Sci-Fi Scarborough is about to launch, and we're delighted to be able to say we made it again for the second year, and we're equally delighted to say we've got the eminent co-creator of Sci-Fi Scarborough sitting right next to us now, wearing his Starship Enterprise icon, and he's got his Superman shirt on as well. It's Steve Dickinson.
Good morning.
Good to see you, Steve. I think we're a little bit earlier this year than we were last year, but it's great to see that the buzz is still there. Of course, this time around, no torrential rain outside, superlative weather.
I know, it's amazing. This is definitely the best weekend of the year so far, and I'm not sure if we'll have a weekend like this till the height of summer, like July, August. So we're very, very lucky and very, very blessed. But yeah, we do have someone looking out for us with the weather who looks after us. So yeah, it's absolutely fantastic out there. It looks great.
I know many of the midweek drivettes are particularly envious, but you'll excuse two of them who are currently in the midst of shooting the 48-hour Sci-Fi London film challenge at present, so hopefully they're doing it well.
That sounds great. That sounds fantastic.
It's ticking way over well. Louis Savio says it's his 17th Sci-Fi London event, so we see Sci-Fi Scarborough as very much the curtain raiser. It's the opening show of the season. It's one of the best. And as I say, last year, certainly blown away by the quality, the professionalism, and the friendliness.
Yeah, it's an incredibly friendly place. Convention is always a friendly place to go, more so in Scarborough. We've found everyone that comes here is lovely, and everyone comes here to have a good time and enjoy themselves and be nice, and that's the main thing. We want everyone to be nice.
We'll hopefully catch up during the morning with some of the fine folk that we connected with last year. John Campley, of course, was there. We actually did a little feature on John when he was on tour this year with Michael Morpurgo's Arthur. He actually made it to Lincoln, so hopefully we'll connect with that. But there's so many other great sort of folk that are actually around. You've got Sylvester McCoy, Sophie Aldred, and many more.
Yeah, many, many more. Gareth David Lloyd's here as well. We've got Gary Kagan and Richard Oldfield and Tim Rose from Star Wars, which, I mean, we've been trying to get Tim here for since the beginning, you know, because Admiral Akbar, you know, I mean, what an iconic character, probably one of the most iconic lines, you know, in Star Wars.
Oh, you can deliver it, take it away.
Go on. It's a trap, you know.
I've got chills, Steve.
Oh, absolutely love it. And I've been trying to get him for years, you know, and there's various Star Wars actors that live in the UK I've been trying to get, you know, and he's one of them. So I'm really, really pleased. Can't wait to meet him and his lovely wife, Tia. She rang me up the other day and wound me up and pretended that he couldn't make it. Because Disney actually rang him and said, we want you in. Much like they did with a certain other guest that said yes to them and pulled out. But he said no to them. I'm going to Scarborough. So we are honoured by the presence of Tim Rose as well. And he's a lovely guy. So, yeah, we're just looking forward to the whole thing now. It's very calm as well, if you notice.
I was first introduced to the magic of Sci-Fi Scarborough, at least it was recommended to us via Ed Fortune. He said he can't make it this year, Ed Fortune from Starburst magazine. But again, I think he was absolutely right. And Ed obviously is a veteran of a whole range of things ever since we connected to a science fiction world convention about this whole system. And what you've got here is it's the fourth year. It's really finding its feet now, I sense.
Yeah, it takes a while to bed in into a venue and into a new event, you know, and sort of, because we're not, it's not a conventional convention. It's the unconventional convention, as we called it. It's more of an expo. It's more of a, you know, it's more of a, just a vast array of whatever we can find that's amazing and magical that people are going to come and want to see and enjoy, you know. And yeah, we do have certain things that
Okay, well, Steve has clearly been abducted by the body painters, so we'll catch up with him in a few moments. Meanwhile, we've decided to take the opportunity to, as the atmosphere continues to build in the sensational fourth Sci-Fi Scarborough, our first interviewee of the day is
Paul Campbell from Stencrow Comics.
Paul, good to connect with your good self. I know my colleague Andy Kerr at the University of Lincoln will be really in his element here, because sequential storytelling, graphic narratives, it's undergoing a renaissance of the 21st century, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah. It's something I hope is going to start booming big time.
So talk us about what you've actually got here, and they're all physical sort of aspects. I mean, we hear a great deal about e-comics and books, comics published on the web, etc. We've got some really fascinating and wide-ranging art forms here.
It's basically, a lot of it's horror-based, but a lot of it comes from the world of Lovecraft, funny enough.
So are we looking at the Call of Cthulhu here somewhere?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. What's the tentacles?
Well, and they're all over the place, etc. Yeah. So what's the inspiration? Is it a case of you've always had a gothic horror tendency? Is it a case of you looking towards that, or is it more the kind of the literature of the weird?
I grew up with a lot of Universal and Hammer horror films, so I just went really weird from there on as a kid, and it's got darker, yeah.
Some of my colleagues, obviously, in fact, one of the courses I teach at the university is based on science fiction, obviously, and we also connect with the works of China Mieville and Embassy Town. I don't know if you come across that, but in terms of Embassy Town, he deals with the hosts as alien others and indescribables. How when you're kind of looking for the gothic image, is it a mixture of Hammer, Amicus, all the kind of classic horror movies mixed with 21st century gore?
Yeah, I think of it. A lot of it's personally just me being really weird and dark.
So how far have you come to actually get to Sci-Fi Scarborough today?
We've come from Doncaster. It's not too far, about 2 hours at the most.
From one segment of Yorkshire to another. Yeah. Brilliant stuff there. And in terms of accessing your material online, can people actually have a website?
Yeah, you can find us on Facebook under Stencrowd Comics or Paul Andrew Kemble at Facebook.
You said you were here last year. It was our first Sci-Fi Scarborough last year. I'm always very impressed with the friendliness of the whole thing. What are your initial impressions this year?
Yeah, I loved it last year. We've come back again due to the friendly Yorkshire people again, yeah.
And a quick name check for your assistant, who's doing wonderful stuff here in the background, keeping weather out and things.
This is the wife, Ellen Kemble.
Hello there.
Hi, how are you doing?
And again, I'm sure it's fascinating. I mean, do you have a favourite piece here? Because I mean, I'm looking at, obviously, we've got Edward Scissorhands that seems to be here in that sort of stage. Obviously, we've got Frankenstein. We've got a very weird Batman incarnation that's coming across from that sort of point of view.
Frankenstein would be my favourite one because it was always my favourite film when I was younger. The original Boris, brilliant film.
It's the classic It's Alive.
Yeah.
So we're continuing our little audio promenade whilst it's still quiet here, and we've been caught by a range of top quality coasters with film and TV logos and a whole range of things. We're delighted now to be able to speak to
Lee Andrews.
Lee, talk to us about what you've got here. I'm particularly impressed by the Star Trek spaceship in a, not quite a bottle, but it's the Enterprise D ship in a kind of glass drum.
Yeah, it's just like vintage toys, what you can just buy, and then you just fabricate a case and laser cut things to signs.
So in essence, you've made all the things that are actually here?
Yes, I have.
Well, congratulations on that. I mean, I think Jamie Anderson would be particularly impressed on behalf of his father, Thunderbird 4, that I see there. And indeed, you've got even the Lady Penelope pink Rolls-Royce as well.
Oh, yeah, they're quite popular at Thunderbirds. So. Well,
51 years and still going strong from that point of view. Do you have any particular favourites yourself in terms of the system? Because the Cyberman head looks particularly impressive. You've got a 16-inch TARDIS there for the remarkably low fee of £115. That's got to be a bargain for time and space.
Yeah, yeah, it's not too bad. You've got to keep things cheap, otherwise you'll not get rid.
How did you get into the business in the first place? Is it a kind of love of science fiction and fantasy? I mean, this obviously the brand of Sci-Fi Scarborough is we do like to geek beside the seaside. What are your thoughts on this?
I'm actually a plastic fabricator by trade, but I just do this as a hobby because I do like sci-fi.
And favourites from your own perspective, or is that a bit like asking an artist to choose between their children?
My favourites is Star Wars, obviously, but I like the new things. What I've been doing is the TV logos, like Superman, Batman, Doctor Who.
And I mean, it's a minor issue, and I'm sure you sort of qualify from this point of view, but do the film companies, are they aware it's an unauthorised, or do they sort of say, we need to have copyright? What's the sort of notion?
No idea.
Okay, I'm sure it'll be fine. It's great stuff. Sensational touchy place with yourself. You've got an ideal view of the stage as well, where you position.
Yeah, it is. It's a good setup here.
And have you travelled far to get here today?
I come from Sheffield.
Oh, so we had Doncaster earlier, Sheffield today. Obviously, this is becoming the go-to place for science fiction fans in Yorkshire.
Yeah, it's a good place to come here. This is my third year.
Well, I figured the mountain would have to come to Muhammad, and quite rightly so, because I know that Steve, being a whirling dervish of an individual, is currently sorting out all sorts of things. Did the body painting get sorted out, Steve?
Yes, it did. We now have a half-naked lady at the top of the stairs, which is
fine. Yeah. An Orion slave girl, perhaps?
There might be, yeah. I know they're doing, like, several different themes today with the, I think we've got six body painters in total, so impressive it will be, it always is.
We've already spoken to a couple of the exhibitors and they're keenly looking forward to it from the point of view of graphic narratives, comics and indeed some wonderful bespoke signs across the base that come from Doncaster and Sheffield respectively. This is really becoming a kind of go-to place, not just for Yorkshire, but I think for the British Isles really in terms of a great event.
Well, that's good to hear. That's exactly what we're after, you know, that kind of thing. We want people to think that way, you know, and to think that Sci-Fi Scarborough is the flying the flag, not only for conventions in the UK, but certainly Yorkshire and Scarborough. You know, this is what it's all about.
Now, just to describe where we are actually heading now, we're into the Promenade Lounge, and you've got a cornucopia of stuff here, Steve.
Yeah, this is like probably one of our favourite places, because we're all collectors, all the organisers collect stuff, and we all collect different stuff, and we like to come and have a rake round in the what we call the plastic crack hall, and we like to look for plastic crack and try and find the cool things that we haven't got in our collections and presents for ourselves for working so hard. So, yeah.
Absolutely. It's a bespoke scenario from that point of view, and already there's a sense of anticipation that we've actually got here. Just sort of notice that, I mean, you really do take over the entire spa complex, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. Every room, every nook and cranny. If we see a gap, we'll shove something in it. You know, because what's the point in having some dead space? Dead space is a crime. It should have some Daleks in it. Or something.
We talked about some of the sort of fine sort of exhibitors so far, but in terms of the actual sort of writers and artists, it's a real opportunity for them as well to start getting involved with the actual product and all the rest of the bits and pieces.
Yeah, it's amazing. We've had quite a few authors and comic book artists come back year on year, and they say, you know, I mean, they say it's their favourite convention. They've some of them, it was their first. And today we've got a new comic in the Grand Hall called Blood and Valour. By a guy who wrote the story called Matt Beams. Two other guys illustrated it. And he was a friend of mine from years ago. He was here at college. He used to come to my cafe. We used to talk about stuff, and he loves comics. And he came to the first Sci-Fi Scarborough to help out. And now he's back as a comic book artist. And it's that kind of thing is just amazing for me. You know, it's part of the reason why we do it.
Later this year, Steve, we're going to have to do a location report from your cafe in Scarborough, so we'll have to look towards that. Finally, as we work our way through this, let's give a name check to your co-creator of Sci-Fi Scarborough, because I know we spoke to him before the event last year, and then it was all sorts of systems go, because obviously it's a combination of Steve Dickinson and...
It's me, and it's Steve Monkman, and it is Chris Taylor and Simon Heaton. That's the main core team.
Yeah, just wanted to clarify that, because you know when it goes online, if you don't give credits to the team, they get very antsy.
This is a team effort, and there's no doubt about that. The book might stop with me. I mean, they say, you're in charge. And I'm like, yeah, the book might stop with me, but it's a team effort. I could not do it without them, honestly.
Steve, it's been a genuine pleasure. We'll just need a quick photo opportunity, and then we'll carry on a little audio promenade speaking to some of the exhibitors that we've actually got here, and hopefully sort of do a general round-robin in the few hours that we've actually got the privilege of spending with Sci-Fi Scarborough 2017.
Marvellous. Great to see you.
The quiet sound of the Dalek in the background clearly means we can only be talking to the Sons of Scarrow, who are...
Robert Phillips.
And...
Dean Stoner.
And you've also got a fine young man here who's around for the whole thing, whose name is...
Adrian,
okay. Dean, let's come to you first in terms of... Obviously, it's quite scary, Daleks and all sorts of things, you know, Sons of Scar exterminate. But you've got a good cause here as well.
Yes, we have. We're raising money for the Kent, Sussex and Surrey Air Ambulance. All funds will be going directly to them that we achieved today. We're doing a Win Your Own Dalek with a raffle. The draw's taking place in London Film and Comic Con in June. And so you can go home with your own Dalek. What more could you ask for?
Absolutely. And what is it about the Daleks that kind of, since Raymond Cusack came up with this design back in the day, over 50 years ago, why do they still sort of have that iconic sort of routine? I mean, obviously Terry Nation had a lot to do with it as well, but in terms of that design.
I think probably because you can't see them. You can't see anybody's eyes, you can't see a face, you can just see the shell. And I think... The mystery behind it is part of their appeal, you know, and the fact that they've not changed very much since the first ones, other than when they tried to redesign them.
I was wondering whether you'd talk about the Stephen Moffat redesign,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, Teletubbies, yeah.
Yes. We call them Teletubbies. I don't see them represented here at all.
Unfortunately, we haven't quite got round to purchasing one of those yet.
Yeah. Anyway, again, it is quite extraordinary. Also, an Emperor Dalek, that's probably what you need to actually make the whole set complete.
Well, there is one within Project Dalek, which is a forum that we all go on, with all the builders go on there. There is one in there, there's one in Canada, I think it's like 16 foot high. It's the classic, the one, the black and white one, so it's quite big.
We were talking recently with our regular colleague Alan Stevens, who of course is responsible with Vorp Vorp magazine for the recent CD release of the Dalek comic strips, with in fact original voice of the Daleks and of course voice of Parker, David Graham, taking one of the lead roles. Have you heard that as yet?
I haven't myself, no.
Well then we've clearly got to put that right fairly rapidly. But again, same question, Dalek appeal to your good self as opposed to say Cybermen or Ice Warriors or Yeti?
I think the Daleks are something that you... in our age group you grew up with, and you saw them on the telly. They were the scariest thing ever.
Did you hide behind the sofa?
Oh, absolutely. My grandmother's breast was the safest place in the universe at that time.
There we are.
And we find that a lot nowadays. When we interact with people at shows and stuff, people are still scared of them. And so many times, hide behind the sofa, whatever. And we make it a point that when we're operating them, not to get in and out in front of people, because obviously it ruins the illusion.
Sure,
you know.
I mean, Daleks are not sort of people suddenly actually in them peddling around on that basis. Do you have a favourite? I mean, I see a very affectionate pink Dalek that's actually there, which is one which I haven't seen emerge in the series. But I mean, they're all sort of quite phenomenal. Any favourites from yourself?
Rob builds my Daleks for me, and the black one there, he's Dalek Muto. Mm. He's an absolutely fantastic build. He's a lovely Dalek, and everyone should come and see him this weekend.
Absolutely.
Yeah, before the first movie, they did a Dalek episode called Dalek Invasion of Earth, and Muto's from that age. So he's basically, we have like, obviously, people who don't know anything about Daleks, obviously a Dalek is a Dalek, but every time they did a new episode of Doctor Who, they changed the Dalek slightly. So you have the Mark 1s, Mark 2s, Mark 3s, and the 70s and 80s ones.
And the Peter Cushing era, of course.
Yes, yeah, which are the two movie ones which you see down there. Well, the inspiration for the movie Fender, which is a lot wider, was the one, the Muto one, with the Dalek Invasion of Earth. Mm-hmm. Because obviously, when they did the first series of Doctor Who, they broadcasted it indoors, and they didn't expect the Daleks to catch on, but they did. So they decided to do a second episode, but they took them outside. Well, the indoor ones, they couldn't clear the ground. So they went and whacked a great big massive fender in there to put big wheels in, which is why Muto has the two fenders. And then obviously they use the bigger fender for the movie ones.
Now, slight health and safety issue here. We do have Sophie Aldred, I believe, in attendance, and she is known for her propensity to have a baseball bat, etc. I mean, have you planned ahead for that if she goes into character midway through the convention?
She'll just be exterminated.
Well, yeah. There you are.
They're all armed, so they're all ready to go. And we saw her here last year, so they're all ready to go.
So it's all sorted out. That's okay. So Sylvester and Sophie will be duly...
There's 10 of them, so they outnumber 10 to 1.
Mind you, those are the sort of odds that actually the Doctor works to. Listen, let's talk about the event itself and how ABC is supporting this. The draw is in June. If people can't get to Sci-Fi Scarborough, they're listening to this online, what's the best way to get in touch with the Sons of Scarborough?
Via our Facebook page, which obviously just search Sons of Scarborough on Facebook, and you'll be able to purchase raffle tickets online via there. You just need to message us and we'll sort it all out from there, or come to London.
And you clearly had a bit of a hike up from the home counties to get actually up to Sci-Fi Scarborough today and this weekend. Thoughts on the event?
Well, we've been here every single year since the first one. In fact, Sci-Fi Scarborough actually gave us our name last year, because up until then we were just a bunch of guys with a bunch of Daleks, and this is why you guys should have a name. So, what do you suggest?
Steve Dickinson magic working again.
Steve Dickinson, exactly. Yeah, Sons of Scarborough. So.
Brilliant. I mean, again, the thing I like about this, and I'm not a huge veteran of events, but compared with science fiction world cons and all sorts of things, there's a friendliness here.
This is by far my favourite con that we attend throughout the year. As you say, it's very friendly, it's family orientated, and everybody just has a really good time.
Guys, I won't leave with seek, locate, exterminate.
It's true.
But it's been a genuine pleasure, a delight, and we wish you well. And hopefully, I say, we might catch up with you in London and various other events where we're covering that sort of thing.
That'd be great. Thanks very much indeed.
Thank you very much. Thank you.